Tonight on Newsbang. Midnight Riders warn of British invasion. Superman leaps from comic book to reality. And Mugabe seizes Zimbabwe in record time. Plus, we'll reveal the shocking truth behind the Queen's secret toupee collection. Those are the headlines, and I'm Martin Bang.
News Bang, where news and satire meet, fall in love and have a baby. 1775.
Hashanta. On this day in 1775, a group of very nosy colonists decided to keep an eye on the British army, who were up to no good in the late-night tipple. Enter Paul Revere, a silversmith by day, eavesdropper by night. He was joined by William Dawsant Want None of This and Samuel Prescott of Trouble. They set off on a midnight ride, thanks to a little help from their friends with lanterns.
Paul Revere, as immortalised in Longfellow's poem Paul Revere's Ride, the musical, was so fast on his steed that he could be seen in two places at once, which was useful as he was also in the Continental Army and was late for band practice.
Meanwhile, William Dawsant Want None of This wasn't so lucky. He was captured by a group of redcoats who thought he was the delivery boy and asked for extra dipping sauce. He escaped by pretending to be a lamppost and hasn't been seen since.
Samuel Prescott, on the other hand, reached Concord with the news that the British were coming, the British were coming, the British were coming. Locals were said to be surprised, as they thought they were already there.
The rest, as they say, is history. The American Revolutionary War began, or as it's known in Britain, the time we forgot to buy tea bags. The end result? America got independence, and we got Mel Gibson in tights. God save the Queen.
1938.
And now, a blast from the past, or rather, the future. It's 1938, and in a basement in Cleveland, two nerds with too much time on their hands are about to unleash a spandex-clad menace on an unsuspecting world. Meet Jerry Glasses Siegel and Joe Asma Schuster, the creators of Superman, a comic book character so camp he could pitch a tent in seconds.
Their creation, Superman, was born on the pages of Action Comics No. 1, which cost 10 cents and is now worth more than your house. He could leap tall buildings in a single bound, stop bullets with his eyebrows, and bend steel with his pinky. The character was so popular he soon got his own radio show, where he battled aliens and kryptonite, a substance that weakened him like garlic to a vampire, or kryptonite to a Kryptonian.
Superman wasn't alone, though. He was joined by the likes of Dr. Occult, who was like Doctor Who but more into leather, and the Legion of Superheroes, a group of spandex-clad crusaders who couldn't find their own capes in the dark.
DC Comics, or Dreadful Comics as they were known then, snapped up the rights to Superman faster than a speeding lawsuit. And the rest, as they say, is history. Or at least it will be when they invent time travel.
1980.
Robert Mugabe, the former Zimbabwean strongman, has died at the age of 95. Mugabe, who was both loved and loathed in equal measure, was a man of many hats, literally. He was known for his collection of over 100,000 million hats, each one more outlandish than the last. One eyewitness, Hattie McHatterson, said, "He could wear a fruit bowl and make it look regal."
Mugabe's political career spanned several decades, from 1980 to 1987, and then again in 2009, when he decided he'd forgotten his keys and went back for them. During his tenure, he nationalized everything in sight, including several farms, a herd of wildebeest, and once famously tried to seize control of the Zambezi River. "He was a man who didn't know when to dam it," said one farmer who wished to remain a mystery.
While some praised his anti-colonialist stance, others criticized his human rights record and penchant for disappearing his political opponents, although he always claimed they just needed a holiday.
As Zimbabwe mourns or celebrates, depending on who you ask, the passing of a controversial figure, one thing's for certain. The world has lost a man who always left a big impression on everyone's economy.
News Bang. The iron fist of facts in the velvet glove of satire. Adi Sundeshtatanirsamon.
Shakanaka Giles is here with the weather forecast, and it sounds like it's going to be a wild ride across the country.
Well, well, if it isn't a scorcher in Teeling tomorrow, looks like the good folks of Qinghai District will be sweating like a sinner in church, with temperatures soaring higher than a molten steel ladle. Might want to keep those fire extinguishers handy, in case the weather decides to reenact that industrial mishap from 2007. Wouldn't want any more scalding surprises, would we? Over in the northeast, the wind will be whipping through like a factory worker trying to escape a fiery disaster. Might want to batten down the hatches and hold onto your hats, lest the shoot off like a piece of shrapnel. And don't be surprised if the rain comes down in sheets, like tears from the heavens mourning those lost souls.
In summary then, a scorcher in the south, a blustery blow in the north, and a general sense that Mother Nature's got a bit of a cob on. Best to stay indoors, keep cool, and avoid any molten metal mishaps. And that's all the weather.
In 1980, the newly independent nation of Zimbabwe welcomed its first Prime Minister, Mr. Robert Mugabe, a revolutionary and African nationalist who would go on to lead the country for over three decades. Mugabe's tenure saw Zimbabwe transition from Marxist-Leninist policies in the 1970s and 80s to a more socialist approach in the later years. The position of Prime Minister was later abolished in 2013, with Mugabe serving as president until 2017. Now, let's go to our correspondent Brian Bastable for more on this historic figure and the impact of his leadership.
The night air is thick with tension as I, Brian Bastable, reporting for Newsbang, find myself in the heart of the chaos, the center of the storm, the eye of the hurricane. Robert Mugabe, the man who once ruled Zimbabwe with an iron fist, is nowhere to be seen, but his presence lingers like the stench of death on a battlefield. As I gaze upon the carnage before me, I see a world that has been torn apart by the madness of one man's ambition. The once great city of Harare now lies in ruins, a testament to the folly of man. The streets are littered with the bodies of the fallen, their limbs strewn about like the discarded toys of a petulant child. The sound of gunfire echoes through the night as the forces of Mugabe's former allies and enemies clash in a brutal battle for power. The sky is alight with the flames of burning buildings, casting a sickly orange glow over the scene of devastation. As I walk through the ruins, I see a man, his eyes filled with terror, his clothes torn and bloodied. He tells me of the horrors he has witnessed, the atrocities committed by Mugabe's regime. He speaks of the massacres, the torture, the disappearances. His voice trembles as he recounts the tale of his wife and children taken from him in the dead of night, never to be seen again. But amidst the chaos, there is a glimmer of hope. The people of Zimbabwe have risen up, united in their determination to reclaim their country from the clutches of tyranny. They fight with a ferocity born of desperation. A desperation born of years of oppression. And so, as the bullets fly and the bombs fall, I, Brian Bastable, reporting for Newsbang, bear witness to the struggle of the people of Zimbabwe. For it is here, in the heart of the storm, that the true spirit of humanity is revealed.
1689.
In a stunning display of colonial defiance, the year 1689 saw the people of Boston rise up against the tyrannical rule of Sir Edmund Andros and the Dominion of New England. This popular uprising, led by provincial militia and concerned citizens, resulted in the arrest of Dominion officials without a single shot fired. The former leaders of the Massachusetts Bay Colony have now reclaimed control of the government, a development that is sure to reverberate throughout the colonies. To provide further details on this historic event, we now turn to our correspondent Ken Shit.
Greetings, degenerates. As we journey back to the year 1689, let's remember a time when people had the balls to stand up against tyranny and oppression. A time when citizens took matters into their own hands and fought back against the rule of Sir Edmund Andros, the governor of the Dominion of New England. These brave souls formed a well-organized mob in Boston, arrested Dominion officials, and reclaimed control of their government. They didn't sit around waiting for someone else to do it for them. They took action. And let me tell you, folks, that kind of courage is what makes this country great. But wait a minute. Wasn't this during the Glorious Revolution? Yeah, that's right. The same revolution that led to the deposition of James II and VII in November 1688. A revolution that was relatively bloodless compared to the pro-Stuart revolts between 1689 and 1746. Now listen up, because here comes the real kicker. During colonial America, all able-bodied men were members of the militia. That means every man worth his salt was ready and willing to defend his land from any threat. Can you imagine that happening today? Fat chance. The founding fathers knew what was up. They detailed their vision for a national military force in the Federalist Papers in 1787. Congress had control over organizing, arming, and disciplining this force, while still leaving significant control in each state government's hands. Talk about foresight. So let's take a page out of these badasses' playbook and start standing up for ourselves again. Let's stop relying on others to do our fighting for us and take matters into our own hands like those brave souls did back in 1689. This is Ken Shit, reminding you that courage never goes out of style.
1946.
In a historic moment that marked the end of one era and the dawn of another, the final session of the League of Nations concluded in Geneva, with delegates agreeing to transfer the organization's vast assets to the newly formed United Nations. The League, once hailed as the beacon of global cooperation, had ultimately failed to prevent the outbreak of the Second World War, paving the way for its successor, the UN, to take up the mantle of maintaining international peace and security. Joining me now to discuss the implications of this momentous transition is our political correspondent, Hardiman Pesto.
Martin, I'm standing in the midst of history. Today marks the historic day the League of Nations officially passes the baton to the United Nations. It's a relay race for peace, and the baton is, well, it's quite literally a baton, a golden one.
Pesto, the League of Nations didn't have a literal golden baton. You're aware of that, right?
Oh, absolutely. But the delegates here seem to think it's a fitting symbol. They're even talking about a victory lap around Geneva.
Pesto, there's no victory lap. The League failed to prevent World War II. It's hardly a victory.
Well, that's one way to look at it. But the delegates prefer to see it as a strategic regrouping.
Strategic regrouping? They're dissolving, Pesto.
Dissolving, evolving, it's all semantics, Martin. The point is, the United Nations is poised to take over with a Security Council that has veto power and, I'm told, a very impressive meeting room.
The meeting room isn't the point, Pesto. The UN is about maintaining global peace and security.
Right you are, Martin. And to that end, I've spoken with a delegate who assures me that the UN will be taking military action to maintain peace.
Who did you speak to, Pesto?
A very authoritative gentleman, Martin. He was wearing a blue helmet and everything.
That's a UN peacekeeper, Pesto. They're not delegates.
Well, he was very informative. Did you know the UN will also focus on human rights and economic development?
Yes, Pesto, that's common knowledge. It's part of their broader mandate.
Exactly, Martin. And they've got all the League's old stuff to help them do it. Desks, chairs, paper clips. They're all being put to good use.
Pesto, the transfer of assets is more significant than office supplies. We're talking about the administration of mandates and oversight of international organizations.
And don't forget the paper clips, Martin. Organization is key.
Pesto, please tell me you have something substantial to report on this historic day.
Well, Martin, I can report that the coffee here is substantially better than it was under the League. Progress is being made on all fronts.
Pesto, you're a testament to the necessity of the UN's educational goals. That's Hardiman Pesto reporting from Geneva, where history is being made, and apparently coffee is being improved.
1775.
In a bombshell revelation that has shaken the political landscape, the United States Department of Justice has released the highly anticipated Mueller report, detailing the findings of a 22-month investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. The report paints a damning picture, with the Russian government engaging in a sweeping and systematic campaign to meddle in the democratic process. However, the report stops short of finding evidence of a criminal conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia. Melody Wintergreen is here with more on this developing story.
In the heart of Washington, D.C., the Department of Justice is abuzz with anticipation. Today, the redacted version of the Mueller report, a tome that has been 2 years in the making, is about to be unveiled. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election and allegations of coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia has been as secretive as it has been extensive.
The report, thick with intrigue and political maneuvering, reveals that the Russian government interfered in the 2016 presidential election in sweeping and systematic fashion. The Kremlin's fingerprints are all over a social media
disinformation campaign and the hacking and release of Democratic Party emails.
While the report fails to find evidence of a criminal conspiracy or coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia, it paints a picture of a web of links and contacts between Trump associates and Russian intermediaries. It's like a political version of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only with more vodka. But where this report really starts to sizzle is in its exploration of potential obstruction of justice by President Trump. The narrative reads like a political thriller, detailing efforts to limit the scope of the investigation, pressure witnesses, and even fire the FBI director. However, like any good cliffhanger, it leaves us hanging without a definitive conclusion on whether obstruction occurred. The initial public release is shrouded in mystery with significant redactions. The Trump administration asserts executive privilege to withhold certain materials from Congress and the public. It's like they've taken a black marker to democracy itself. The release sends shockwaves through the political landscape, fueling ongoing investigations and debates around presidential accountability, election security, and foreign interference response. It's as if Pandora's box has been opened, only instead of evils flying out, it's subpoenas. The Trump administration dismisses the findings, while Democrats continue their quest for transparency and accountability. It's a political tug of war, with the truth caught in the middle. So, as the Mueller report lands with a thud on the desk of democracy, it seems this is one redaction reaction that's far from over. Melody Wintergreen, reporting for Newsbang, Department of Justice, Washington, D.C.
In a pivotal moment that would ignite the flames of revolution, the year 1775 saw the legendary midnight ride of Paul Revere, William Dawes, and Samuel Prescott. These American patriots raced through the night to warn the colonists of the impending arrival of British troops, setting the stage for the battles of Lexington and Concord, the opening salvos of the American Revolutionary War. Now, war historian Bertrand Spitfire joins us to provide further context on this historic event.
The year was 1775, a rather tumultuous time on the backwater planet known as Earth. The native inhabitants, a peculiar species we shall refer to as Americans, had grown weary of their imperial overlords, the British, a rather stuffy lot who seemed to fancy themselves the center of the known universe. Tensions were high, and the stage was set for a most extraordinary clash of civilizations. Enter our heroes. Paul Revere, a silver-tongued silversmith with a penchant for midnight rides. William Dawes, a soldier with a spring in his step and a heart full of patriotic fervor. And Samuel Prescott, a learned physician with a thirst for adventure. These three stalwart individuals, members of a clandestine organization known as the Sons of Liberty, set out on a perilous mission to warn the colonial militia of the impending arrival of British troops. Braving the dark of night, Revere and Dawes raced through the Massachusetts countryside, their trusty steeds galloping with the urgency of a Xylothian herd fleeing a supernova. Alas, their journey was not without its trials, for they were soon separated, each tasked with delivering the vital message to a different town. But the indomitable Prescott, not one to be deterred by such trifling obstacles, pressed on, determined to reach the town of Concord and sound the alarm. Through winding roads and treacherous terrain he rode, his steed's hooves thundering like the approach of a gargantuan nebula storm. And so it was that the colonial militia, roused from their slumber by the clarion call of these brave riders, took up arms and prepared to face the might of the British Empire. The stage was set for a clash that would echo through the annals of history, a pivotal moment in the struggle for independence that would forever enshrine these men as heroes in the hearts and minds of their fellow earthlings. Truly, the midnight ride of Revere, Dawes, and Prescott stands as a testament to the power of determination, the triumph of the human spirit, and the enduring legacy of those who dare to challenge the status quo, no matter the cost. A tale worthy of the grandest intergalactic sagas indeed.
News Bang, the one-stop shop for all your unbelievable truth needs. 1938.
In a momentous development that has sent shockwaves through the comic book universe, the year 1938 has witnessed the birth of a new era in superhero lore. The creation of Superman by the dynamic duo of Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster has ushered in a golden age of caped crusaders, with the debut of Action Comics' number one marking the arrival of the first true superhero. This iconic character, blessed with extraordinary abilities, has captured the imagination of readers worldwide, and his exploits are poised to be adapted across a myriad of media, from radio serials to films and television shows. Joining us now to delve deeper into the significance of this milestone is our culture correspondent, Smithsonia Moss.
Now at this point of the evening, we welcome listeners on FM who've just joined us.
Whoa, culture vultures. Smithsonia Moss here, coming at you faster than a speeding bullet with a culture report that's going to knock your capes off. Let's rewind the clock to 1938, a year that gave us something more explosive than Grandma's chili, the debut of Superman in Action Comics' Schwann. Now, imagine this. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, just a couple of regular Joes, probably fueled by nothing but dreams and, I don't know, a crap ton of caffeine. They go bam. And out pops the Man of Steel, the granddaddy of spandex-clad heroes, the Kryptonian who started it all. So, there he is, Superman, flexing his muscles on the cover, lifting a car like it's a freaking feather. And inside, he's leaping tall buildings, outspeeding bullets, and basically being the ultimate Boy Scout with an alien twist. And let's be real, the dude's got more daddy issues than a reality TV show, but hey, that's what makes him super, right? Fast forward, and Supes is everywhere. Radio serials, novels, movies, TV shows, Broadway, even video games. He's like the Elvis of superheroes, if Elvis wore tights and had heat vision. Jerry and Joe? These guys get inducted into every Hall of Fame you can think of, and they're just sitting there like, yeah, we made a god in a cape, no biggie. They even cooked up other characters like Dr. Occult and the Spectre, because why stop at one universe-saving badass? And let's not forget, Superman's legacy is so epic, it stretches all the way to the 30th century with the Legion of Superheroes. That's right, folks. The Man of Tomorrow is literally chilling with his grandkids' grandkids' squad. Now, DC Comics, those crafty devils, they've been riding the Superman wave since day one. They're like, Detective Comics? Nah, it's all about that action, baby. And Action Comics number one? That thing's worth more than your house, your car, and your left kidney combined. So, there you have it, folks. the story of a farm boy from Kansas who's actually an alien, who's actually a cultural icon, who's actually a, you get the picture, Superman, the hero we never knew we needed, but now we can't live without. And that's the tea. Or should I say, the kryptonite-infused latte on Superman. Stay super, stay sassy, and remember, with great power comes great responsibility. Wait, wrong superhero. Ah, fuck it. You know what I mean?
News bang, unmasking the shrouded face of truth one chip at a time.
And now, a final roundup of tomorrow's front pages. The Times, Revolutionary War erupts, Lexington and Concord under fire. The Guardian, Baltimore grieves, Freddie Gray's tragic end spurs outcry. The Sun, from Hollywood to royalty, Grace Kelly's fairy tale wedding. And with that, we close the lid on tonight's news bang. Remember, a broken clock is correct twice a day, but a broken barometer can never predict the perfect storm of news we've had tonight. Until the next whirlwind of headlines, keep your umbrellas at the ready. Good night.
Tune in next time for more artificially intelligent hilarity. Newsbang is a comedy show written and recorded by AI. All voices impersonated. Nothing here is real. Good night.